Chapter 6, it should be all set up. It was earlier. Don't know why it wouldn't be now. So, all right. So, we are looking here, if you will, in 2 Kings chapter 6. Going to be there in just a moment, if you will. But I just want to bring one thought to you here. The C.H. Spurgeon said that a general revival without joy in the Lord is as impossible as spring without flowers or day dawn without light. Now, beloved, I love springtime. I think everybody probably does. I love springtime. I love the fact that when springtime comes around, it's a renewal. You see the trees begin to bloom. You see the flowers begin to bloom, or the trees bud, the flowers bloom, and all of these things begin to happen. These new things begin to come back, and I absolutely love it. I mean, you'll see in the valleys here, the trees are, they turn more green, the grass is green, all of these things. It's just everything turns beautiful in the springtime, and I really enjoy it. Matter of fact, it sets off a spectacular visual beauty of God's masterpiece. But beloved, we need a revival just like a springtime renewal in our churches today. A revival is something that brings back to life that which was once alive, just like it does with springtime and the flowers and the trees and all of this and that. So I want to bring 2 Kings chapter 6 to you tonight, 2 Kings in chapter 6, and look with me in verse 1. 2 Kings in chapter 6 and in verse 1, the Bible says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. The man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now, beloved, there has been countless sermons preached around verse 6. And there's been countless titles in sermons of The Iron Did Swim, and nonetheless, this is the same title tonight of that message. There's not a better title, if you want to know the truth, of the message preached out of 2 Kings chapter 6 and looking at verse 6. Verse 7 tells us, it says, Therefore said he, Take it up to thee and put it out, and he put out his hand and took it. Beloved, this event is nothing shy of a miracle. I mean, let's stop and let's think about it just for a second. The fact of iron swimming to the top of water is proof of the prophet's position and the purpose that he had with God. I mean, there's a deeper meaning here that's in the backdrop that goes beyond just simple metallurgy. I mean, it goes beyond just a simple defiance of physics tonight. I mean, all I know that if I was somewhere... If I was somewhere by a creek and I dropped a piece of iron, now typical axe head, an average axe head, weighs anywhere from 1.7 pounds to 2.8 pounds. That's roughly about what the normal axe head weighs. That's a heavy little thing if you stop and you think about it, and it falls into water. And if that thing floated to the top, and the Bible says swim, and I know we can look a little too deep into white parts of the Bible sometime, but I wonder if that thing just fluttered a little bit like a little doggy paddle in that water just to come on up. I have no idea. All I know this is that metal is not supposed to float in water, solid pieces of metal, unless it's a ship, amen. And that thing floated. That's a miracle. It defied physics. It defied gravity. It defied it all, and it floated to the top. And I tell you what, it's just nothing more than a miracle. But there's a deeper meaning here than the axe head just swimming. There's a deeper meaning here than a solid piece of iron floating to the top of water. There's a deeper meaning here than defying all physics. An axe head is a tool, my friend. It's an instrument of construction just as much, probably more than it is of destruction. I understand that it's used to fell timber, and in that process it's quite offensive in its blow and in its nature. I understand that. But for every felled tree, there are houses built, there are tables built, there are chairs built, there are walls constructed, there are roofs built of all various sorts. There's all kinds of furniture that work to the nature of humans in our life today, all because a tree was cut down with an axe head. That's called construction. That's called progress. That's called positivity. But the axe head in our story, my friend, can be used in a parabolic manner. If we look at it parabolically this evening, meaning as a parable, it is the representation of power. An axe head is a representation of power. And beloved, if we are going to have revival in our hearts today, if we're going to have revival in our homes today, if we're going to have revival in our heads, if we're going to have revival in our valley, in our communities, in our city, in our country, in our government, if we're going to have a revival in the house of God, we're going to have some power behind it, beloved. We're going to have to get back and return where the Lord wants us to be, and it's going to be with power. There is a power, my friend, which will swoop into a nation. It'll swoop into a city. It'll pour into a town. It'll bleed throughout a valley. It'll go through a village, and it will enter into a home, and it'll enter into a church, which will turn that fallow ground, that old dirt that was once fruitful. It'll turn it over, and it'll bring it back to life. It'll revive the individual. It'll revive the family. It'll revive the community. It'll revive the commerce, believe it or not, through this power. I mean, if we look at a simple equation in terms of axes, I mean, they will do different amounts of work depending, I understand, on the speed that they're swung and the leverage of the handle, the weight of the axe head itself. I get that. But if we make any given axe head travel faster, it embodies more energy to do the work. So the weight, if you will, of the axe head, we call that mass, and the speed, which we call velocity, can be added or subtracted to change the embodied energy, or the potential, as we would say in physics, to do the work. A lighter axe has to travel faster to do some of the work as a heavier axe would do. At a slower speed. Now, why did I say that? I say that an axe head is dependent upon the measure of force that is applied to it, but nonetheless, an axe head is an emblem of power this evening. Now, we want revival in our life. We want a renewal in our days that went to sleep, didn't it? We want a revival in our hearts and our minds this evening. But we must recognize where the power is. We must recognize that the power is seen as something in our world today. I want you to pay attention here. The power is seen as something that is bygone. That's point number one tonight. If you look there in verse 5 with me and look at the latter part of verse 5, if you will. The first part of verse 5. And if you see this here, verse 5 says, "But as one was failing a beam, the axe had fell into the water." And the Bible says, "And he cried and said, Alas, Master." But as one was failing a beam, the axe head fell in the water. I remember one time we were out water skiing, my family friend and my dad, and my dad had been on a knee board behind this boat, and he had got back into the boat, and in his shorts, he had left his wallet, he left his keys, he left his watch, and when he got back into the boat, all of that tumped off into the water. And man, in his mind, he said, "It's gone." And I jumped in real quick. I could still see it through the water and was able to get down there and grab it before it plummeted to the bottom, okay? You say, "Well, why didn't you wait to go to the bottom?" Number one, I didn't know how deep it was. And number two, this place was infested with alligators, amen? So I swam real quick, like in a hurry, and got back in that boat. I'm saying that to say this, guys. I mean, I believe each and every one of us tonight, if we had an axe head, if you had something that weighed 2+ pounds on the end of a stick or in your hand or whatever it may be, and it fell into water, you don't know how deep it is, in your mind, it's gone. In your heart, it's history. Beloved, Christians used to hold positions in our society today, positions of respect and positions of honor. And I'm not saying that we should go after these things, but rather, I think that we should allow them to organically develop in our lives. But if you look at society this evening, if you look at society as a whole, modern-day Christianity does not hold the weight that it once did. Modern day Christianity, we've allowed modern Christianity to be mocked at. I mean, listen, we watch television shows and people listen to actors in movies who mock out Jesus Christ, and they make fun of the church. And you know, listen, going to church on Sunday today, oh, that's for women and children. I heard a man say down here at the cafe one time. See, what I'm trying to say to you tonight, that power from on high, most of the people in society this evening believe that is something that is bygone. Christians used to be people of influence in society. In the days of the great revivals, we hear that so often, don't we? Wells, I saw somewhere, Wells, the land of the old revivals. I heard American missionaries refer to Wells as the land of revivals before, and yet there has not been a substantial revival of God's people in Wells since the 19th century. And I understand the 1904, 1905 revival. I get that. But guys, so many people refer to that as the Welsh revival. But my friend, that was a blip on the map compared to the explosions of revivals that happened before it. The revival that blew through this valley here in 1859, 1904 couldn't hold a candle to it. Most of 1904 revival was led by sensationalism and singing, very little preaching. Most of it was emotion, and it gave birth to false doctrines and the charismatic movement in our community, in our world today. And it's infected our nation. And what it's done is made a mockery of who Jesus Christ is. It's made a mockery of the preserved, purified Word of God. It's made a mockery of who Christians are in the world today. It's infected us today. Yes, there needs to be an experience associated with salvation. Absolutely. I believe there's a feeling associated. There ain't nothing wrong with getting a little emotional, amen. You can call me Baptist, you can call me happy clappy. I don't really care, amen. I'm excited my Lord Jesus Christ saved me, praise God. But I'm going to tell you this evening, guys, the feelings that some people, when the feelings are gone, it doesn't mean the salvation's gone, amen. When salvation moves in, it comes and it stays, amen. We've seen movements within our nation here in Wales, which has led to people in churches. Guys, we've seen movements come into this land in years gone past, in centuries gone past, with people being saved. Matter of fact, this building right here, and by the time you get to 1890 in this building right here, so there was 50 converts a month, people getting saved, filling this church up here with nearly 1,000 people in 1890, which was fruit from the 1850s. Revival. This building wasn't built till 1849, and you see in 1851, 1856 revisions of the building. Then in 1890, it was extended to house the people that were getting saved throughout this valley as a result of that revival. From 59 all the way up to the end of the century. Don't tell me that we haven't had mighty revivals here. Matter of fact, through this valley and the valleys beyond, you had Howell Harrison in the mid-1700s. You had Christmas Evans going through preaching. You had these great men of God who preached the Word of God like no one's ever heard. You had Pastor Thomas Price who planted 30 churches in Aberdare and the surrounding areas here. He had 7,242 members to his name in all of those churches, and they came together for baptismal meetings. There was a tremendous blowout that happened. And during 1910, 1930, right here, guys, right where you're living tonight. But to modern society, to our neighbors tonight, for those that park right in front of the gates, which are posted, please don't park in front of the gates. Christianity and the power thereof is a bygone conclusion. We've seen movements within our country which has led people and churches to be powerless. Because we continue, listen carefully here, guys. Because churches are continuing to look back at what used to be, the revivals from before days, the salvations 10, 20, 30, 40, and even 80 years ago, and we sit in our wooden pews, and we drink our coffee, we drink our tea, and we eat our biscuits, and we talk of the great revivals of old. I'm a history guy, guys, if you haven't picked up on that yet or not. I am a history guy. Christmas Evans is one of my favorite preachers of all time. It was said of Christmas Evans in the old Welsh that he preached with unhoil, which means he preached with exuberance, amen. He preached with excitement. He had fun when he got behind the pulpit. And people in this village right here, they didn't know what to do with him. They thought, what in the world is this guy? What is he preaching? Why is he so excited? Because he had a fire inside of him like others didn't. He was known as the Bunyan of Wales, the one-eyed preacher in a schoolyard fight when he was a young boy. His eye had gotten knocked out on one side. He preached with fervor, man. Christmas Evans is gone. And you know what? He's not coming back, amen, to pastor this church or Horeb or any other church in this valley. Brother Price, Thomas Price, has been dead and gone a long time. Amen. Glennett Jones, who pastored in this building right here, pastored here for 42 years. He had been a pastor here since the late 60s. Amen. Matter of fact, there wasn't a pastor here until after that, after him. I mean, these great men of old, Howell Harris and Daniel Rowlands and all of these great men that preached the gospel, they are gone, my friend, and we've got to quit living off of their blessings. Because society thinks that revival, a powerful Christianity, is something that is bygone. Men and women will sit around living off the blessings of yesteryear, wondering why the world has gone the way it has gone, and why our leaders make decisions they have made, and why perversion and murder has been legalized, why most people believe that we crawled out of a pool of water and somehow billions of years transformed into a complex cellular organism, all the while society has become worse and worse. And yet they still believe in the upward evolution of mankind. How in the world can you believe in evolution looking in the world today? We're not getting better, we're getting worse. Amen. I think the Bible says that evil men shall act worse and worse. Amen. Deceiving and being deceived. Amen. My friend, we are missing the power in our pulpits. We're missing the power in our pews. We're missing the power in public today because the world thinks Christianity with power is a bygone conclusion. We're missing a presence from on high. And can I say this to you here this evening? I'll sum this first point up quickly. It needs to change. We're missing a presence from on high this evening, and it begins tonight, right here. It begins with a renewal. I know the screen's not on. It begins within the walls of the local New Testament church. And it must extend into the walls of our homes. It must bleed into our streets and our places of business. Our life must be upheld by the power which can transform lives. Paul said in Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. He said in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a power that's from on high, my friend. At the present moment, revival, the Christian reality, is looked at as being bygone. Christians today are looked at as being soft and slurpy, even effeminate, if you will, powerless. But as a whole, there's a greater truth here in our scriptures tonight. There's a great truth with the view that we see. The power is lost. This guy lost the accent. It's sunk to the bottom. It's gone. Now, I don't know if there was crocodiles and snakes. There probably was everything in the world that wanted to kill you inside that water. In his mind, it was gone. But there's a greater truth here about that accent tonight. The world thinks our power is bygone. And the world may view it as being bygone. But we as believers must realize that that power that the world thinks is bygone, we need to realize it's only borrowed. It ain't ours. Amen. Look at verse 5 with me again. It says, but as one was failing the beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, watch this, for it was borrowed. Beloved, we cannot do it ourselves. Surely the man who strong arms, I mean, people can strong arm and have a synthetic atmosphere of the Holy Spirit of God. That will be left alone in the midst of days. Listen, the movement of the Holy Spirit of God cannot be faked for long term. At least not very long. It must be a price that we're willing to be paid, that we're willing to pay, and paid in full. The power is not ours. We need to understand this, but we need to be willing to go after it. We need to be willing to have it into our lives. We need to be willing to recognize that it's not our power, it's not our strength, it's not what we can do, but it's what He is willing to do. How willing are we to have it tonight? Let me ask you this question. Do you really want revival? Do you want it in your heart? I understand that we say, yeah, we want revival. We want the church house full. I want the church house full. Praise God. But having a full church house is not my goal. That's not my goal. Amen. My goal in this meeting here is for our hearts to be revived, to be renewed in the power from on high. That's what my goal is. We need our theme this year. We need a reboot, do we not? I know this is our theme for this year. Lord, last year was a 2020 vision, and I think we were all glad to see that 2020 vision in the rearview mirror. I think we were glad to see the end of that year. But like I told our church here, just because 2020 is coming to end doesn't mean 2021 is going to be any better, amen. It ain't. It's just another day. It's just another year. We need a reboot. What's involved in a reboot? A renewal. We need to get back to that renewed spirit. The Bible says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of years make known, in wrath remember mercy. Revive thy work in the midst of years, he says in Habakkuk. Now we sing, it pays to serve Jesus. And beloved, it does. It pays every day. It pays every way. It pays every step of the way. We understand that it pays to serve Jesus. It most certainly does. It pays to serve Him. But can I say this to you? It's going to cost to serve Him as well. It costs every day. It costs every way. Anyone can synthesize excitement. Anyone can sing and get emotionally filled with even good music, amen. Solid Christian music. People can, they can sing up and they can get excited about it. But guys, if you are looking for a cheap way, an easy and lazy way to revival tonight, you will not find it. Revival does not come without a renewal. Salvation is free. Revival comes with a cost. Salvation is free. You cannot earn it. Too many want revival, though. They want revival with the comfort of the upholstered, streamlined, cushy faith. But you'll not find such in the Word of God. Guys, listen. I read this quote the other day. The bitterness of poor quality lingers long after the sweetness of cheap price has been forgotten. Let me say that again to you. If you're looking for a cheap revival, you're looking for something synthetic, you're looking for something easy, the bitterness of poor quality lingers long after the sweetness of a cheap price. Have you ever bought something, guys, on offer just because it was on offer? And well, one of the most dangerous places in the world to go is the middle aisle of Littles. Amen? Every tool that not one of us in there needs is right there. Boy, I tell you, two for one, I'll take two. Might get four, why not, you know? They last about two or three jobs, and we didn't need it, didn't even want it, amen. One of the greatest tools that I was ever given is this pen by my daughter. It's got a ruler on it, it's got it in metric, it's got it in inches, and it's got a spirit level. It's got a little squishy thing on there so I can use it as a stylus, and it's a pen that writes. That's one of the best little tools I've ever had. I love it. And some of those tools that we pick up in that center aisle, guys, they're cheap, aren't they? This wasn't cheap. You want something cheap, it ain't going to last. You buy cheap, you buy twice, amen. You pay for something at a dear price. You love it, and you're grateful for it. There's a cost, guys, to revival. Revival is not the power that brings revival is not your own; it's borrowed. This revival that we're looking for, we must be willing to have a renewal in our spirit, but we must recognize that it will come with a cost in our lives. First of which, it requires to understand that where the power of revival comes from. This position of renewal is going to be borrowed. This revival that we want to happen is going to come through power that is borrowed. The Lord said unto Zerubbabel through Zechariah, said, not by might nor by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. My friend, it is a borrowed power found in that axe head that sunk in that water. It was borrowed. He said, last master, it was borrowed. Amen. The very power that everyone in this world views as being bygone. Lastly tonight, It's only going to be resurrected in our lives through the branch. Look at verse 6 with me. Look at verse 6. The man of God here, Elisha. What a man. What a hero. What a role model of you, a mentor of you. Elijah, 2 Kings chapter 6, and in verse 6, the Bible says, "And the man of God said, 'Where fell it?' And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And boy, here it comes, and the iron did swim." Elisha, this great man of God, cut down a branch, my friend. He cast that thing in the water, and the results were the iron swam. It defied every drop of physics. It defied every drop of gravity. It defied everything that night. Completely defied it all. Amen. And that iron swam. I'm here to tell you this evening, guys. First off, this was an impossible performance, yet it happened. There's a world today out there looking at the church going, "What in the world are the lights doing on a Monday night at 5 o'clock in that old building over there? What are those crazy people doing? What's that guy yelling about over there? What was that song they were playing? Why can't we park in front of the gate? Why do they even need to open those things? Isn't it closed?" This is an impossible performance. This was a hunk of iron. It sank to the bottom of this water. He put the branch in there and it swam. It happened. It was an improbable plea. The servant said, "Alas, master, it was borrowed. The yak's head fell." It was an improbable plea, and yet it happened. We're begging God tonight to bring revival in our land. We're begging God tonight to bring revival in our churches. We're begging God to bring revival tonight in our hearts, in our homes, in our heads. We're begging God to make a difference in our lives. To most, it's an improbable plea. To the world, it's just, they don't believe it's going to happen. Yet that axe head swam. I say this to you. It was an important place. There they were in the water. What were they doing? They was working. They were busy. Where they were, it was too straight. They wanted a bigger place. And he says, "Go on, go ye." And the man of God went with him. And he's out there with a borrowed power, cutting down trees, and that axe head fell. Probably some joker looking around, some of those looking around going, "It's gone. It's over with. No more work. No more tree cutting. Nobody, we can't do anything. It's over with." It was an important place to reveal the power of God, wasn't it? That thing sunk like a rock. It sunk like a hunk of iron, amen. My friend, if you want the iron to swim in your heart, if you want that power back into your soul, you want that power back into your life tonight, you're going to have to cast a branch in there. You're going to have to take that branch, capital B, and you're going to have to put it down in the water where that power still is. Jeremiah 23:5 tells me, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up David a righteous branch," capital B, "and a king," capital K, "shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." If you're taking notes, write that down, Jeremiah 23:5. Jeremiah 33, verse 15, you write that down. It says, "And in those days and at that time will I cause the branch," capital B, "of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." Zechariah 3, verse 8, the Bible tells me, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant," you guessed it, "the branch," and they're all capitalized in that one. Every letter in the word branch. Zechariah 3:8. Lastly, Zechariah 6:12. "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch," all capitalized again, "and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord." My soul, who do you think that branch is? That branch is the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, these four verses line up perfectly with the four Gospels who reveal who and what Jesus Christ is. That righteous branch of Jeremiah 23 is in agreement with Matthew as Jesus the King. Amen. That man whose name is Branch in Jeremiah 33, verse 15, is in agreement with Luke's account of Jesus' judgment at the second coming. My servant, the branch, of Zechariah 3:8 speaks of Mark's gospel and the beauty of that branch, that servant. And the branch of Zechariah 6:12, his name is Jehovah, agreeing with the beloved John and his gospel. Beloved, it was the Holy One. It was the branch, both man and God, servant and king, who was cut down on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, cut off from the land of the living for us and for our sins. But he's got to be cast, and that's what's going to bring that power up. The value of the death of Christ apprehended by faith and applied in our powerless estate today will cause the iron to swim. I promise you that. That is the lost power returned unto us today by the branch. Amen. Not by synthetics, not by my soul, not by the internet, not by all the song and dance and colored glass and smokes and mirrors. It's not by that tonight. It's not going to be my commercialization. It's not going to be my materialization. It's not going to be my monetization. It is going to be tonight by the branch who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So many before us have had the power and they've lost it. We read in the Bible of Gehazi, who had the power and lost it. We've talked in late of Samson. He lost it. We read in the New Testament about the disciples with the possessed boy after the Mount of Transfiguration. They were powerless. The wise of this world is considered powerless. The man who did not count the cost, he was powerless. And the carnally minded in the book of Romans, they are powerless. But beloved, the power is not our own. It is a borrowed power, but it is through the branch who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got news for you. It is not a bygone conclusion tonight. Jesus Christ, the same that died on that cross, the same branch that was cut out of the land of the living, the same one that was buried for 3 days and three nights and yet rose again, the same one that saved your soul this evening, the same one that bled to wash away all of your sins, the same one that brought revival through the Apostle Paul, the same one that brought revival throughout all of these thousands of years, the revivals here in this valley, that same branch, my friend, is in you tonight if you're saved and you're born again. And we can have revival in our land. We can have revival in our days today. And hey, we'll just get the branch back involved. We'll just get the branch back involved. Power's not ours. The world thinks it's gone, but it's not. Life today goes on like it does every single day. Sure, life can be uncomfortable. And yes, there are struggles. That doesn't mean the power's gone. That just means it means it needs to be renewed in our life. We can get it back. We're only going to get it back through the branch. Is it bygone? Nope. How is it not bygone? We're to die to sin. We're to die to self. We are to live to the Savior. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You want revival in your life tonight? It's going to require renewal. You want revival in your life tonight? What the world thinks is bygone? You're going to have to recognize that it's borrowed from on high. And if you want it back in your life, if you want that iron to swim in your heart tonight, it's going to start by cutting down. It's going to start by that branch getting back down in your life and getting Him where you need Him to be. Get a little bit of heaven on earth, amen. Get a little revival in our spirit this evening. Oh, the iron swam. What a glorious and blessed thing. Boy, the iron pit. Listen, the iron swam. It defied all laws of physics. It defied all laws of gravity. It defied everything. Amen. What a blessing that is. So did Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, man, listen. He was punished for our sins. Through His stripes, we are healed. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Son of God. He was scourged for us. His flesh was ripped off His back. He bled. Crown of thorns was platted on His head. His side was pierced. He was crucified and left for dead. He died. He gave up the ghost. He was buried in that grave. And 3 days later, He says, you know what? Up out of the grave He arose. Don't tell me there ain't power there. Don't tell me that power is bygone. Don't tell me that we can do it ourselves. No, sir. It's a borrowed power, but it comes through the branch tonight. So, beloved, you want revival this evening? We're going to have to get a renewal. You want a revival? You want a reboot tonight? You're going to have to get renewed in that spirit this evening. Ask God to revive the work in the midst of years. Ask Him. Get the branch involved. Amen. I'm not interested in doing it myself. I'm not even going to try. I'm not interested in doing something that's created on the backside of admin and administrative meetings. I'm not looking for church growth 101. I'm not looking for soul winning 101. I'm looking for a revival tonight, something that's going to be done through the Holy Spirit of God, something that Jesus Christ, the branch, will do Himself. Amen. Something that comes with a renewal. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've done. I thank you for this evening. I pray tonight as we all go to prayer. I ask everyone here tonight, Lord God, with every head bowed, every eyes closed. I ask you to please search the hearts, dear Lord. Father, we're not having a song, a closing hymn. We're not having anything like that tonight. Lord, we're just coming to you in prayer this evening. We're asking you, Father, please intervene in these days, dear God. I pray and I beg and I plead with you this evening. I ask that you make a mighty difference. Father in heaven, we need the branch to be cast to where the power was lost. We need the branch to be cast, dear God, where we left it. Lord, we need Jesus Christ. I understand we're saved, we're born again. I understand you never leave us nor forsake us. But Lord, there's been somewhere in our land where as a nation, Lord, as an embodiment of churches, that we left off Jesus Christ, that we left that branch somewhere else. And I ask you tonight that we get that branch back. We recognize this powerful revival is something that's borrowed. And Lord, I just want to prove to the world that revival is not a bygone conclusion. That it is not something that was 100 years ago or 200 years ago. That it's not something for women and children. But Lord, that the local New Testament church, Father, is a force to be reckoned with in this world today of wickedness and sin. Father in heaven, I plead with you. I ask of you to please pour your Holy Spirit out upon this land here. Start here with this church. Start here tonight with the churches that are representative here this evening. Start with this week, dear God, as we come before you, looking for a spirit of renewal, Father. We pray you set it ablaze. Father in heaven, I do love you. I thank you for who and what you are, for all that you've done. I give you glory, honor, and praise. And as we close the meeting tonight, as we say amen, I pray that we would not forget that which was preached this evening. Lord, that we prepare our hearts to be back tomorrow night. Dear God, we'd be willing to pay the price, that we'd be willing to accept the cost, that we may invite the branch back into our churches as Bible believers. We understand the power is borrowed. Father, we pray for revival of the believers tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. I want to thank everyone for being here this evening. I hope and pray that God has been mightily wonderful to you. I do ask you to continue to pray tonight, tomorrow. Pray that God moves through this week. Pray that we see a revival of His work in the midst of these years. Amen. Tomorrow night, we're starting at 5 o'clock again. Brother Preston will be bringing the message. We're going to use the same format, guys. We're not looking to kill the clock. We're not looking to be here for hours on end. I'm not interested in having three songs and a poem. I'm interested in us. We'll open with one song, a bit of announcements, a prayer. And we're going to listen. Preaching's involved in revival. Amen. So we're going to turn Brother Preston loose tomorrow night. And we're looking forward to that. Amen. So you be in prayer for him tonight. Be in prayer for him tomorrow. Tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, just be in our place. Amen. So you're welcome to stay around, fellowship a little bit, guys. Just remember the COVID restrictions. We'll go from there. All right. Good night, guys. Love you all.